Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our second lesson, Book of Philippians, chapter 1, beginning at the 12th verse. And in that passage, St. Paul writes, I desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is better by far. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Literally, he doesn't say depart. He says, I desire to break camp. Pull up stakes. We're not staying here anymore. We're moving on someplace else. I want to be with Christ, which is much better, better by far. Much better. Much better than what? Much better than what? I was reading an article recently about a U.S. downhill ski racer who had been in four different Olympics, standing on the podium many times, winning many, many medals, and she was amazing to watch. Years back, she would come down the slope at 60 to 70 miles an hour, highway speed. When she'd hit a little bump, she would fly through the air for 100-some feet like a rocket. It was a sight to behold. Amazing. Glorious. Many honors. Well, she's retired now. I mean, after all, she is 38. But she's retired from the Olympics. But after all of those years of skiing, she has had scores of surgeries, all manner of surgeries on various different parts of her body. And right now, she admits that she is working on managing pain. Your body and your mind can only take so much of a beating, and sooner or later, it catches up with you. Or sooner or later, it catches up with all of us, doesn't it? Whether you're a downhill skier or not. Sooner or later, you're managing pain in one form or another. Physical pain, emotional pain, faith pain. Think about St. Paul for a moment. St. Paul was a fireball in his youth, like that gal who was the downhill skier. He went through all manner of things when he became a Christian and began preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the churches that he started, the Corinthian church, later on took a dim view of him, and they said, well, he's not dynamic, he's not powerful, he's not a super pastor, he's just kind of an ordinary pastor. And St. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, well, those other pastors you're talking about, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman. These are his words. Yes, I'm talking like a crazy person. But I had far greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings. I was often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. I was on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, without food often, in cold and exposure, and apart from those other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all of the churches under my care. Now, you do not go through all of that year after year and not pay the price somewhere down the road. Everything the man went through. It's like today's epistle lesson from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, where we find St. Paul in his later years. He is in his 60s. And no doubt he is managing pain after all that he's been through. Pain of the physical sort. Now, back then, you realize, of course, it wasn't, well, I'm in pain in my knee, so I'll get a knee replacement. Or my hip's acting up, so I'll get a hip replacement. You don't get hip replacements and knee replacements. What do you get? You get pain. You work with your original parts until the day that you die. But there's other kinds of pain as well, too. There's physical pain. I'm sure he had quite a bit of it. There's also the management of emotional pain. There is also faith pain. In the lesson for today, you find him under a great deal of stress because he is under house arrest. What has he been arrested for? He's been arrested for being a Christian and talking about the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, he says, I have anxiety about all the churches that I started and how things are going for them, and are they keeping on the straight and the narrow? All kinds of pain management. And then add to that, just plain and simple, the pain management of living in this world. Martin Luther, many years later, in his large catechism, would write about it. This is what he said. He said, this world drives us to anger and impatience. Now, this is 500 years ago, still true back then. To anger and impatience. There's nothing in this world but hatred and envy and enmity and violence and injustice and treachery and vengeance and cursing. These lists go on and on. Cursing, reviling, slander, arrogance, pride, along with a fondness for luxury and honor and fame and power. And no one wants to take the back seat. Everyone wants to sit in the chief seat and be seen by all. We've got kind of a running theme here. It's a theme you find in Scripture as well, too, all the Psalms of King David. You find it in the words of Moses. He gets to the end of his life, and you can hear it. You can hear it after these thousands of years, the tiredness in his voice as he writes in the book of Deuteronomy, the Song of Moses, or he writes Psalm 90. You remember the words? Lord, teach us to what? Number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. A whole amount of managing pain. And you can understand very well why any person going through all those sorts of things would say, as St. Paul did, I desire to depart. I desire to depart. Or like he said in 2 Timothy 4, he said, I'm already being poured out in the ground like a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I desire to depart. Except for the fact that just departing doesn't get you anywhere. Just departing doesn't improve anything. It is not a step in the right direction. It is by no measurement something that is better by far. And maybe you noticed that when I quoted a couple scriptures to you, I quoted only part of them. So let's see if we can finish them out. Let's try it again. St. Paul says, I desire to depart. We got that down. I desire to depart, but what does he say? And be with Christ. Be with the Lord Jesus, which is better by far. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I'm already being poured out in the ground like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. But now you've heard these words before, you know them. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The crown of righteousness. That sounds pretty good. The crown, you know how it says, the streets paved with gold, the gates all of one pearl, thousands upon thousands in white robes washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, singing his praises. And how does it go in the book of Revelation? How do the words go? They almost need a trumpet fanfare with them. It says simply, there will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying. There will be no more, what's the last one? Pain. There will be no more pain. Why? Because the old order of things has passed away. It's gone. It's done. It's over with. Of course, it isn't over with yet. We're still here. And many a time you may find yourself asking, why does there have to be all of this trouble? Why does there have to be all of this pain? Why does so much of my energy have to go into pain management in one form or another? Now, the short answer to that question is, well, it's a fallen world. And if that answer is good for you, well, then good. You trust the scriptures. But if you need more than that, it doesn't stop there. It says other things. It says it's a fallen world, but also this, Hebrews chapter 12, God is treating you as his sons and his daughters. What son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later on it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God is treating you as his sons and his daughters. But not only that, did you ever think that the Lord might be detaching you from this world? It's like when a surgeon goes in and somebody has a tumor and they try to do what? Detach it from healthy organs, and they're relieved when they're able to do so. Did you ever think that the Lord might be, with all of these difficult things happening, trying to detach you in heart and mind and faith from the tumor of this world? Because what else are you going to call it? It's persistent. It's continuous. It's deadly. But not only that, did you ever think that the Lord might be doing an unexpected good with all of the trouble, the problem, the difficulty, the pain? What did St. Paul say in today's lesson? He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, and what he means is his arrest, his being taken to Rome to go under trial. He says, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. If Paul had never been arrested, wrongly so, but if he had never been arrested, he never would have appealed to Caesar. And if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, he wouldn't have been sent to Rome. And if he hadn't been sent to Rome, the Christian message would not have been heard by Caesar's court or the imperial guard, which was 9,000 men and their families. And who knows who else heard the message. And Paul says, if I wasn't sent there, my brothers in the Lord who are also preaching the message wouldn't have been encouraged to preach more faithfully and more courageously. And so it is. You never know what unexpected good the Lord is bringing about. And so he writes in the book of 2 Corinthians some words that I don't think you or I would even dare to say if it wasn't written in the Bible. And this is what he says. He says, in Jesus, if you have the Lord Jesus, it's always yes. God's word to you is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. And that is why through Jesus we utter our amen. In other words, that's the way it is. Amen to God for his glory. He says, even if for the moment things don't look like they're going the right way, they seem like they're going the wrong way, they seem like they're going downhill, it all seems to be pain and difficulty. He says, if you have the Lord Jesus, at the end of all things, it's win-win. Those are the only options. Win or win. And so in today's lesson, what does he say to the Philippians? He says, I'm hard-pressed between two things. I'm hard-pressed between two things. My desire is what? You know the words. To depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Either way I go, it's a win-win. And Paul says, I want to be with the Lord. For one reason or another, I want to be with the good Lord. But you know what? I can wait. I can wait if the Lord wants me to wait, if it's for the greater good of his people. And in all honesty, the Lord had that as part of his plan. He had Paul wait for a couple of years. He had him wait for a couple of years, but he only had to wait that long before finally he got his wish. He would lose his life. Or maybe we should say he would gain his life. Gain his life together with the Lord. Because as he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Either way, it's win or win. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.